men and these great words of the Lord. I thank the Lord for His good truth and that which we've heard already this day, amen. I was thinking while Brother Chad was preaching, I'm glad he's my shepherd. I can report I shall not want. I can also say this, the Lord's my vine, and because of that, I shall not want. I can also say, the Lord's my husbandman, and I shall not want because of that. So turn with me once again this morning to John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. We are in our portion of these morning services trying to ponder some abiding truths from this great, great chapter. Much of the chapter deals with fruitfulness. And for the weeks out, with the help of the Lord and the will of the Lord, we'll try to look at some of those fruitful truths that He lays down in this chapter. But before you and I can ever grasp those fruitful truths, before they can become a reality in our lives, there are some fixed truths in this chapter that He lays down. Without me, you can do nothing. Now that would seem like a harsh truth. But prior to laying forth that principle, He lays down some fatherly truths that we're going to consider in a moment. But before He begins to lay those out, He begins to lay down and lay down some foundational truths that we tried to magnify yesterday. The Lord begins in this first verse and says, I am the true vine. He is the source of the vineyard. He is the supply and the source of life in the vineyard. But then He says, my Father is the husbandman. He declares that the Father is the sovereign of the vineyard. He's the owner. He's the proprietor. He's the Lord. He's the planter of the vineyard. All that takes place because of the Father's work and the Father's will in His vineyard. That's foundational, lest you and I get that, lest you and I get who our source, who our supply is. My, will not produce fruit, and anything produced, it'll be wild, bitter, sour grapes at best. Then He simply lays down the simple, simple foundational truth that ye are the branches. He said, I am the vine, but ye are the branches. Meaning simply that we are the servants of the vineyard. We are the fruit hangers, if you please, of the vineyard. And then He mentions the fruit, of course, the sweetness of the vineyard. I noted yesterday that in chapter 31 of chapter 14, He gives us the time of these abiding fruits. He says, arise, let us go hence. And they make their way to the garden where the betrayer will come and he'll be betrayed. It's the time frame there before the betrayal of our Lord and before the sun sets again. The Son of God who will be taken out to Calvary and crucified and laid away in a borrowed tomb. It's significant. And in those last moments, at such a critical time, He speaks these abiding truths. But in chapter 14, verse 30, He gives us the talk of these abiding truths. In verse 30, He says, hereafter, I will not talk much with you. He was saying to those men, fellas, I've just got a few more things to say to you. Oh my, I want to read the rest of the verse. It ties right into what Brother Rick was magnifying. He said, hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. He was saying, boys, they've just got a few more things I need to tell you and I have to tell you, and you better listen, because the prince of this world is a coming and he's not got anything he can do to me, but there's some things he can do and do in you. Oh my, it's that talk that sets the framework of these abiding truths again here
in John 15. Follow along with me as I read again these first key five verses. Our Lord says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And the Lord will add his blessings to his word for his name's sake. Here in our passage this morning, I want to magnify some of these fatherly truths. Our Lord declares that my Father is the husbandman, and the husbandman is the caretaker of the vineyard, and all that the husbandman does is for the benefit of the vineyard, for the benefit of the vine, and for the benefit of the branches, and so that there'll be some fruit in time of harvest. In fact, there's not anything that the husbandman is not willing to do if it'll benefit the vineyard, if it'll bless the vine, and if it'll promote fruit on the branches. The husband will do anything necessary. That's why there in Isaiah 5, the Lord stands back and looks at his vineyard, and he says, what more could I have done for my vineyard than I have not done for thee? Oh my, it's cause the husbandman loves the vine. It's cause the husbandman loves the branches. It's because the husbandman loves the vineyard. Now that word itself, the idea behind the word husbandman is literally worker of the earth, earth worker. In fact, it's where we get the word and the name George from. Now if you know George sitting back here, you'd think it might mean worker of computer, but it actually means worker of the earth. There, that's the literal meaning of the word. We get a lot of other words from that. But the husbandman is the worker of the vineyard, one that oversees and tends and cares to his vineyard. And oh my, here in these verses we find these abiding truths about the Father, about the husbandman. Few simple ones and we'll be done this morning. Number one, every branch has the attention of the Father. Every branch has the attention of the Father. There in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. It does not matter. It does not matter whether the branch has fruit or the branch does not have fruit. Every branch has the attention of the Father. Every branch has the attention of the husband. It doesn't matter the state of fruitfulness. Every branch is known by the husbandman. Every branch is known by the Father. If you please, oh my, and he did. Deals personally with every branch, for every branch has the attention of the husband. I'm glad this morning that's how it deals with you. I'm glad that's how it deals with me this morning. I'm glad my Father knows me. I'm glad that I have his attention. Oh my, would to God he'd always have my attention, but oh my, I always have the attention of my Father. He knows the very numbers of hairs on my head. There, he knows my down sittings. He knows my uprising. As the psalmist said, don't miss it this morning. This is an abiding truth. Every branch has the attention of the Father. Their world was about to be changed. Their world would soon be different. It never, ever, ever be the same as it was before. And the Lord knew, facing all that they would face, they would need to know. They would need to know that their father, that they would need to know that the husband had them in mind. And oh my, he is the dresser. Don't miss it. He is the dresser. He is the dresser of every branch. And he deals with every branch according to that branch. I assume the singer's got all his stuff set up. And I'm assuming this morning that this microphone is set to the adjustments of the gal that sings behind this microphone. I'm assuming that this mic is adjusted, therefore the voice of the man or the woman that stands behind this mic there. Our husband deals with every branch in the vineyard according to that branch. I'm glad he doesn't deal with me because of something you do. I'm glad he doesn't purge my life because of something that you do. Thank God, you better be glad he doesn't purge your life, prune your life because of something I do. Why? Every branch has the attention of the Father. Oh my, it's a fatherly truth. It's a fatherly truth. Before he says, without me you can do nothing. Hallelujah. He wanted them to know they had him and didn't have to do anything without him. A fatherly truth. Number two, though, every branch gets the Father's adjustment. Every branch gets the Father's adjustment. Now, I will tell you this morning that I do not believe that the first part of verse 2, and I do not believe that verse 6 deals with unbelievers, false believers or false branches. I do not believe that is a reference of this passage. That has been the common interpretation. In fact, that is still the majority interpretation. Because in these last several weeks, I've gotten my hands on about every commentary on John that's available just to check out the majority opinion. And they're men that believe that those verses apply to false believers, false branches. I believe they're good men. Some of them love God. Some of them believe the Bible. Some of them I study after and even have confidence in. And you may be here this morning. That may be your position. I'll not fall out with you. We'll still go and eat lunch together. I still love you and all of that. But I'm just here to tell you this morning, you're just flat out wrong. You say, well, preacher, that sounds a little dogmatic. Why could you have such a position? Because of five words in this passage. In fact, I'm amazed at some of the men that have seemed to miss it. Because notice with me, and I know, and as I said, we're not gonna fall out. And I'm well aware this morning that they are false believers in the Baptist church. Of course, you know what? We sometimes have the Baptist church in our mind. We often think that it is the synonymous and is synonymous with the church itself. I tell you, they lost and saved folk in the Baptist church. But there's nobody but saved folk in the church. There's nobody but the saved that are in the body of Christ. Oh, no, we're not talking about false believers. We're not talking about those that have professed here. Say, why, preacher, look here. Two key words. Every branch in me, verse 2. In me, verse For in me, verse 5, in me, verse 6, in me, verse 7. Oh my, those two key words makes it plain. I remember I said yesterday, the Lord doesn't leave it open for interpretation who the vine is, who the branches are, what the fruit is, or what the Father's doing. No, He says, in me, in me, in me. Three other words, I in you, verse 4, I in Him, I in you, verse 7, oh my, my, my. Now granted this morning, I'm well aware, I'll be the first to acknowledge this morning, you can be in religion and not be in Christ. You can be in the local church and not be in Christ. But you cannot hear me this morning, you cannot be in Christ and not be a branch. Oh my. In fact, Paul said, what? If any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. If you are in Christ this morning, you are a branch. You might be fruitless. You might have fruit. You might have more fruit than somebody else. You might even become withered before all is said and done. But a branch is a branch. Is a branch, is a branch. By the way, verse 6 is not referring, it is not referring to eternal judgment. No, no, no. How'd I know? The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said that my Father, that the Father hath given that authority has been transferred from the Father to the Son, not to men, not to servants, not to preachers. Thank God. Hallelujah. Certainly not to Baptists. Oh my. No, that's not the focus of this passage. Now, let me get those to the meat of this thought here. Every branch, we're talking about branches, every branch gets the Father's adjustment. Now, there are two key adjustments that He notes for us in the passage. The two key adjustments that the Father makes. He makes a certain type of adjustment with these fruitless branches. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And that phrase is tied up with a great misunderstanding and has led, I suppose, even to the great misunderstanding concerning who he was talking about and what kind of branch he was really talking about here in this verse. And that a misunderstanding normally comes from this. When you and I read that word taketh away, and when you and I think of the husbandman taking away, here's what we normally think of when we read the verse. We normally think of the husbandman then going and grabbing a pair of pruning shears and lopping off that branch. Only problem is, that's not the primary meaning of the word. It says here, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. The primary meaning of that word is the word aereo. It literally means to lift up, to raise up. Now, when you come to a word in the Bible, you just can't seem to get a hold of how it is it's to be used and the real thrust of the meaning behind it. Tell you what you need to do. Go to look into other places in the Bible, not commentaries, but go look into other places in the Bible where the Holy Ghost uses that exact same word. And if you and I'll do that, we can get some help on this thought, this adjustment of taking away. Remember, after they had fed that multitude and the Lord had fed that multitude, remember He had the disciples to go back and to gather up those fragments of bread and fish. Guess what? Same word as in John 15 here, verse 2. They first, they reached down and they lifted up They raised up those fragments of bread and fish, put them in a basket, and then they did eventually, no doubt, take them away. Oh, my. Same words used on a number of occasions of raising the hands upward toward heaven, or even lifting one's eyes upward toward heaven. Brother Steve preached so well last night out of John 11 concerning their Lazarus tomb there. When our Lord walked out and said about that stone, he said, "Take ye away the stone." Same word that's right here. He taketh away in John 15, 2. Oh my, they lifted that stone up out of its place. They elevated that stone up out of its place. And then, and only then, did they move away and take away that stone. Yeah. Well, how about this one? The Lord Himself said, if I be lifted up, guess what? Here it is, same word. If I be lifted up, if I be raised up, then I'll take all away the sins of the world, and all men will be drawn unto me. So the word itself, this adjustment, first of all, has the idea of raising up. It has the idea of lifting up. But now that's not normally how we think of it. And I've been studying on these thoughts for several weeks, and I just couldn't. How does the lifting up part, how does the raising up elevate, how in the world, what in the world has that got to do with vines and branches and grapes? Yeah. Well, I told you yesterday that near our house is the Waldensian vineyard, and since I'm not an Alabama brother, I guess I just need to be fully truthful. It's actually called the Waldensian Vineyard and Winery. So part of the research for this message came from the winery over near the house. Yeah. Yeah. Brother Steve's really going to love this. When you're having communion next, he said that's where y'all get your communion at. Winery. When I went over there to see him that day, when I was pulling in my parking lot, I recognized I had my Taylorsville Baptist camp meeting shirt off. And I thought, Lord have mercy. I thought about keeping my hand over my heart and maybe they think I'm real patriotic or something other. But I went on in there and never had been in there before. And when you first go in, there's a long counter. I guess the world would say bar. And I mean, they had about 24 bottles of wine lined up down through there. And a big old sign said, "Wine tasting." And there's two gals standing there and a lady behind them, behind the counter there. And she said, "I'll be with you in just a minute, sir." I said, "Thank you." And it didn't take me too awful long to figure out that they'd been there a little while. Because after a while, one of them noticed my shirt. And she said, "Well," looking back at me, she said, "I can tell from your shirt you must be here to get an answer for the children about the wine." I said, "No, ma'am, I have no questions about the wine. I'm not here to talk or to see the wine taster, but I have come to see the wine dresser around here. I have come to see the husbandman of this vineyard." And that's when they sent me to Freddie, I told you about yesterday, that old fellow back in the back. And I told him, I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher from over across the hill. I'm working on a sermon. I'd like a little help from you today if I could." And he was obliging, and we sat down and had a good visit. And I kind of told him a little bit what I was thinking about and about the word. I said, "Tell me something." I said, "What is the natural tendency? What is the natural tendency of grapes? Do they have a natural tendency to grow up and to grow out? Or do they have a natural tendency to grow down?" He said, "Oh, grapes just have a natural tendency, and branches, vines, they just have a natural tendency to grow down. In fact, he said they like to run along the ground. They like to be down there even in the dirt. He said this, he said, if left to themselves, that's where they'd stay, down yonder in the dirt, real down there, real low to the ground. Oh my, he didn't know what he was doing, but he's helping me big time. In fact, let me give this nugget. He said, now I will tell you this. He said they have gone into the lab and they have done some cross-pollinating, and the horticulturists and the viticulturists, he said they have done some germinating and cross-pollinating, and he said they have come up with a man-made variety that has a tendency to bunch and likes to bunch. Oh my, I about had a spell when he did this. He made a face. He said that them grapes might be all right for jelly, I guess. He said, but they ain't fit for wine. They ain't fit for wine. I know that old man had another kind of wine on his brain, but I already had another kind of wine on my brain. I'll tell you this morning, there are a lot of churches coming up with man-made stuff. There's a lot of churches that have forgotten who the vine is, who the source is. A lot of churches running the man-made stuff. You can get a big bunch, but it's not fit for wine. It's not fit for the joy of the Holy Ghost or the Lord. Oh my. But he said it's just the natural tendency of this thing and them things to run and stay low. I said, well, just what do you do? And then he started using a word. He started using a word that I don't know how many times he used it in the course of the rest of our conversation. He said, we have to train them righteous. He said, we have to... God. He said, we have to get down there where they are. Oh, God Almighty. And he said, we have to raise them up. We have to lift them up. And we have to train them. We have to train them to that trellis. Oh, my Lord God Almighty. I'm glad he came down one day to where I was. And you know what they did one day to my Lord? They took him and they trained him to a trellis and died for you and died for me. He said, we've got to train. We've got to train them vines. We've got to train, rather, them branches. I said, well, now, I said, oh, God. I said, so you come out one day and you see a branch going some cock-eyed way. I said, what do you do? I said, is that when you go get them shears and take that thing away? Chop that thing off? He said, oh, no. He said, they're too valuable.
Yeah.
He said, that branch is too valuable for that. He said, we try to work a little more. We try to train just a little bit more. No. That's what the husbandman does. Hey, that's why he planted a vineyard in the first place. That's why he's got a vine that he tends to. He cares for the branches. Every branch has his attention. And in loving kindness, he'll make adjustments. As needed. But he said, old Freddy, I doubt he knows God. He said, after a while, the branch will not submit to the training. He said, then we do have to cut off and take away. Hear me this morning. I'll tell you, there have been times in my life, Lord God, they far too many sermons that I won't think of that ever produced any fruit. Yeah. I'm glad when it was that way. I'm glad he just didn't run and grab the shears. I'm glad he just didn't cut me off and take me. No, I'm glad he began to work. I'm glad he began to train me. Oh, my, thank God for the Father's adjustments in our lives. Amen. But there's a second kind of adjustment. There's a second kind of adjustment that he magnifies in this chapter. For this fruitless branch, he taketh away. He'll lift it up. He'll try to train it. need be as a last resort, he'll take away. If it'll not yield to the vine dresser, if it'll not yield to the will of the Father, it'll be taken away as a last resort. But they are the kind of branches in the vineyard. They are those branches that are fruitful. And he makes a different kind of adjustment for them. He doesn't deal with them in the same way. He doesn't deal with them in the same way. If I had enough sense, I'd go on. I don't want to muddy the water. But I'd remind you, he doesn't deal. Again, this passage is not talking about lost people. This passage ain't talking about false branches. But I will say this. He doesn't deal with lost people the same way he deals with you and I who are saved. It'd do us well to remember that. But he doesn't deal with a branch that's fruitful and has been fruitful in the same way he's dealing with a young branch that never has produced fruit or has become fruitless. Well, my, you say, how can you do that? Every branch has his attention. But for this fruitful branch, it says he purgeth. He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now again, I'm afraid we preachers, I'm afraid we've led other men that we like to read after, and I'm afraid we've sometimes let tradition and not truth guide our thinking about what a passage has to say. And by the way, bless God, the overwhelming majority of modern translations translate purgeth here as pruneth. That is not the idea behind this word. The idea behind this word is to cleanse and to clean. Put your seatbelt on. Look at verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. I want to tell you, if you write in your Bible, put a circle around purgeth, verse 2. Put a circle around clean in verse 3. And time together, because they are the exact same word. Now, I ain't talking about one word in another chapter or another gospel or in the Old Testament. This is in the New. No, right here in the same zip code right here in the same lesson that night our Lord uses this key word. What's the meaning, though? And by the way, I'm not saying, lest you leave and get the wrong impression, I'm not saying there is an error. There is no error here. And I am saying that our beloved King James translators have been more honest and true to the text than all this other crowd. But the word for purgeth is translated clean in verse 3. It's actually the word as well that we get our word catharsis from. Those words are used and both words are fitting and both words are right. Those words are used because they mean this. They refer to this. This is the adjustment the Father is making. He is removing. He is cleaning away. He is taking away anything that would hinder or hamper the vine or the growth of the branch or the size or the sweetness of the fruit. It might look good. It might not look good. Doesn't matter. Anything, in fact, everything that would hinder, he will clean it away. He will remove it away. Sometimes a big dust storm would come through and all the leaves and all the branches and all the fruit would get dusty. You know what you'd see happening if that had been the case? You'd see the husbandman with a bucket maybe and a dipper going by every branch. He wouldn't just be out there casting water. No, he'd go to every branch because every branch has the attention of the vine dresser. He'd go to every branch and he'd wash off every branch and he'd wash off every cluster of grapes and every cluster of fruit. He would be cleaning away. He would be purging away that which was foreign and did not matter. Sometimes it might not be dirt. Sometimes some little foxes maybe gone through the vines and gone through the vineyard and got stuff all twisted up and snarled up. It would hinder the flow of the sap if left be that way. If let be that way. And in those moments not in the sense of washing away, not in the sense of cutting off, but if necessary, he would cut back, clean back, clean out anything that might not, or rather would hinder the fruit and the production of fruit. In fact, sometimes they'd say, they'd refer to the branches as going to leaves. Going to leaves. That's when the vine dresser would come in. That's when the husbandman would come in and would begin to remove leaves. So those leaves wouldn't take away from fruit. And so the sunlight could come in. And so that the wind could blow through the vineyard. And the branches would be healthy. And the vine could flourish. And fruit might be produced. It has the idea of cleaning out. It has the idea of cleaning off. It has the idea, ultimately, even of cutting back, but not cutting off. This first adjustment, there is a lifting up. There is a lifting up. And if need be, there's a loosening. There is a severing. There is a cutting off. But oh my, in this second adjustment, there is a cleansing. There is a cleaning back, a cleaning out. And he does that with every branch. He does that with every branch that is fruitful. By the way, verse 3 tells us how he makes these adjustments. The husbandman always makes the adjustments, and the father always makes the adjustments with his word. With his word. Oh my, Hebrews talks about over in chapter 10 how you and I, how we're washed with pure water, the water of the Word. Thank God this morning I hold in my hand the pure water of the Word of God. You know what? You know what's been going on all morning long around here, going on all day, yesterday around here? God's been a washing. God's been a cleansing. God's been lifting up, if that would be the need. I mean, we come in dusty and we come in dry, but the preaching of the Word of God will go to washing and will go to working. Oh, my. But sometimes that word, sometimes the adjustment's not as much washing. Sometimes it's not so much like water. Sometimes this word's like a knife. Sometimes it's like a knife. Sometimes he does have to cut off. Sometimes he does have to cut back. You mark her down this morning. You can mark her down this morning. If you have fruit, you're beginning to bear fruit in your life, you can mark her down. He's going to clean out anything in your heart and in your life that's unlike him, that would hamper you from being what God would have you to be. He'll begin to clean it out. He'll begin to cut it out if need be. And I'll tell you, he knows how. He just knows how to do it. I mean, he can take the knife of the Word of God. He knows how to cut out bitterness or resentment or anything else. In fact, last night, we saw the result of the husband coming by, stopping off by a branch, and oh my, working in that heart and in that life. And the wife and I was talking about on the way home. Nobody said a word last night about chewing tobacco. I was here all day long yesterday. Nobody said a word about chewing tobacco. Oh my. You know what's going on? The husband got a hold of the Word of God and began to work with that vine, rather that branch there, to trim and to work and to cleanse that it might bring forth and bear fruit. The adjustments of the Father. Every branch gets these adjustments. And he may be a cleansing on you this morning. He may be trimming on you this morning. He may be cleaning out some things. Anything unlike the fruit of the Spirit, anything unlike Christ, you mark her down. It's going to get his knife. If you'll not repent of it, if you'll not deal with it, if you'll not deal with it there as a result of hearing the Word of God will go to dealing with you. Oh my, he does it because he loves us, not to harm us, but to help us. Right, quick, let me give you two more. I'm not going to preach them, but let me give them to you. We find another fatherly truth in this passage is this, that every branch has the Father's affection. Now, it's really just not because of time that I ain't going to preach these last two. It's just because they're just too big and I just ain't got a hold of them. Brother Rick said a moment ago, you're talking about sacred ground. I'll tell you, I just can't. This just doesn't compute with me. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. I'll tell you, I can't get it. I mean, my Lord, that's like trying to grab hold of a mountain. That's like trying to hug a mountain. You can't, but just a piece at a time.
Right.
As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Oh my, he wants them to know. He wants those boys to know that, oh my, the Father loves them in the same way, hallelujah, the Father has loved him. Oh my, can you conceive of the Father withholding anything from the Son, any need, any desire of the Son? Oh no, 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 no. The affection of the Father. And I did get a little bit of the mountain though the other day when I was over yonder at the winery vineyard. I noticed they had flowers everywhere, and I've not done in-depth research yet. I've not gone to the Biltmore Estate and their vineyard yet. But I've seen pictures of it, but up around in Biltmore, they've got roses planted throughout the whole thing. A lot of times at the end of a trellis, they'd have roses planted. I thought maybe that's just for beauty, for the tourists, for the onlookers. Ain't got a thing to do with anybody outside the vineyard. No, 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 their appeasement, their pleasure, no, 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 has everything to do about that vineyard. Those husbandmen, those vineyards, those vine dressers, they'll plant those flowers, roses, or whatever they may be. They'll plant those throughout and around the vineyard because parasites and diseases will attack the flower first. Will it go to the flower first before they'll put an attack on the branch? Oh my, they'll go to that flower. They'll attack that flower, and that way the husband will know when he needs to give some attention to the vine and some attention to the branches. Oh, blessed be the name of God. God so loved, hallelujah, God so loved me that the Father sent the Son, planted the Son, so that anything that gets to me, it first has to go by my Savior. It first has to come unto him. I'm going to tell you, I've been in some dark valleys every now and then, not a lot of them, but I want to tell you, in those dark, discouraging times of the valley, I've discovered he already had a lily planted. Oh Lord, in those desert times when it seemed like they want anybody but me, nobody serving God but me, everything is dry and dusty, along the come the rose of Sharon, a blooming and blowing in the breeze.
Amen.
Oh my, oh my, oh my, in those desert times there's that flower, that rose. Hallelujah. Not been to it yet in my death. I've been to that place with a few other people, and I found planted there by the Father was the resurrection and the life himself. I'll tell you, that's the affection of the Father. One last one and I'm done. Verse 16, every branch has the Father's appointment. Every branch has the Father's appointment. In fact, before there's ever any cutting off, old Freddie told me, He said, before we go to pruning and cutting off, we already have determined where we want fruit to be next year. And we cut back to there. We know how many buds we want. We cut back to there. We cut back to there. I'll tell you, the husbandman is a running this thing. I told you yesterday, he's the proprietor. He's the planner. He's the planner. He's got rule and say over the vineyard. He even knows how many buds he needs and how many he's going to have. And he has appointed. He says, I have chosen you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I'll preach it this way. He is just simply saying, fellas, I'm responsible. I'm responsible. He's told them about who they are. He's told them about fruit. But before he lets that gang of Baptists, if you please, leave out of there thinking they're the ones that's responsible for the fruit, he said, hear me, fellas, you've not chosen me. I've chosen you. Oh, my, I'm responsible. I take responsibility on myself. I provide you everything you need. Oh, thank God today. Thank God today. I'm glad one day he came and chose me and appointed a place for me just to be a branch, just to be a servant unto the Lord. If that ain't enough to crank your motor, Israel became an empty vine. So he came as the true vine. But Paul tells us he reached over. He reached over, got some wild branches, and grafted them in one day so that they'd be fruit. Amen. By the way, before the husbandman ever doesn't do it often, in fact, it's very, very rare that they graft in the grapevine. Doesn't do it often. In fact, I've just found it really one time in the book right here, to be honest. No, am I. Tell you, before he ever reached over and got that wild branch, he first makes a cut in the vine. And he first opens up the vine that the vine might receive that wild branch. Oh my, blessed be the name of God. One day I was wild. One day I was lost. But long before that, he cut the vine that day at Calvary. He opened his side that day at Calvary that I might be grafted in and become a fruitful branch in the vine. And bless God, there ain't no little fox. Big fox, gray, red, striped, or no wind going to blow out that which he grafts in, because he seals it with his spirit and with his word. If you and I don't get a hold of the fatherly truths, when he goes to lifting and training, trying to get us to see this and do this, and when he begins to move in our life in a way that's contrary to our nature, if you and I aren't careful, we'll want to rebel. We'll want to push back. But hear me this morning, the husbandman's not against you. The husbandman's for you. He's for the vineyard. He's for the vine. He's for the branches. He's for fruit. And he's for you. And he's for me. I'll tell you, he's a skilled husbandman. I ain't got any grapevines. I was trimming on some azalea bushes the other year, trying to get them in what I thought was a good shape. And I thought there was just maybe one more cut that needed to be made. Lord, I lopped off. I lopped off and left open a big old gaping hole. I'm going to tell you, my father, my husbandman never lets the shearer slip. And he doesn't grab him quickly, because the Father loves you. And he loves me. With heads bowed, eyes closed, Brother Allen's going to come. Father, oh Lord, there's been enough truth. Preach, Lord, forever. I tried to get up here and attempt it. God, to draw us to you. God, I pray in these moments, God, we'd not let it pass by. Lord, you've chosen 66 books to give us what you've said.
God, you gave it to us. Lord, you know that the prince of the world was a-coming. And the prince of the world would seek to ruin and wreck us. Oh, Lord, he couldn't do anything with you, so he set his sights on us. But God, you've given some abiding truths, some fatherly truths that'll help us if we'll bow to them and submit to them. But I don't know if anything else needs to be done in here this morning, but God, if it does, I pray we'd cooperate with your training. We'd cooperate, God, with your washing, your working, your trimming, cutting, however it might be. Lord, it's fruit that brings you honor and brings you glory. Brother Allen.